All right, so we're picking up on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. Okay, so the Gemara says that, so Rava said, that was the question the Gemara was dealing with was, how can you divorce a woman by putting the get into her chotzer? We have a rule that whatever the woman owns, her husband takes possession of. Masha konsa isha kona baila. So then, Rashi explains, means leperos lishtameshba. So he has all the practical incidents of ownership of the field. He gets the fruits from it, he gets to control it. So the Gemara seems to think that's an obstacle to a nesina to her, because like Rashi said, since he's considered to be the baal of the field, akati lo nofek get mi yadei the baal. It hasn't really left his domain, because the field itself is really under his domain. Okay, so then so Rava proposes this idea of gita v'yada bo'en ke'achas, right? Bo'en ke'achad. So in the course of the Gemara is analyzing Rava's statement, and it says that, I'm sorry, did I skip a step here? It was Rava said, what are you concerned about the field? Atu yada milo kanyule. What about her hand? Right? Milo kanyule baal. Doesn't the baal own her hand too? Now what does it mean the baal owns her hand? In what sense? It means to say in terms of Maisi Yadeha, right? So the Gemara was saying, so Rava was saying, why are you worried, why are you surprised that the Chatzer is good, even though he owns it, Leperos? It's no worse than her hand, which he also owns, sort of, for Peros, because Maisi Yadeha are the product of her hand, right? The work product of her hand. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara, in analyzing Rava, the Gemara says, what did Rava mean? What did Rava mean that the yad of the isha is owned by the baal, like the chutzir is owned by the baal, right? He says, nei de korni leila maisi yodeha. So it's true he owns her hand in terms of in terms of what she does. Yada gufa mi kanyale? But does she own the guf? But does he own the guf of her hand? Does he own the guf of her hand? Okay. So the Gemara is saying that there's a distinction we have to make between who owns the guf hadavar and who owns the usage of the davar. And the Gemara is saying that by yada, there's no, we can't really say that his ownership is a problem, because the only thing we can say about his ownership is he has ownership over Maisi Yodel. But we're concerned about the guf, and he doesn't have ownership over the guf, right? That's what the Gemara asks about Rava. So the Gemara says, okay, Rava wasn't talking about an Isha, he was talking about an Eved. But you see over here, Tosos jumps in now. Tosos and the Rashba, the Rishonim, jump in now. And they're bothered by a very fundamental problem. It was now the Gemara is making a chilek between Maisi Yodeha and Gufa. Right? Now, it's up till now, we weren't making that chilek. We're just saying the fact that he owns the Peros is enough of an ownership to make it like it's his. Or to make it at least like it didn't leave his rishus. Right, but now the Gemara says, "Look, we got it. We have to break it down into a more conceptually. You have to break it down more analytically. And it's true, there's an ownership of Peros, or there's an ownership of Maisi Yodeha. But we're concerned about who owns the guf. The guf. I want to know: is it given to her? So if I want to know if it's given to her, I have to look at the guf. And Maisi Yodeha, he doesn't have a kinyan on the guf of his wife. He has a kinyan maybe of Maisi Yodeha. But now that the Gemara is saying we have to differentiate between the guf and the usage of the thing, well, why isn't that the same thing by the chatzar itself? Right? That's the way Tosis poses the question. That once the Gemara says that it's not a problem to give the get to the woman because her hand is hers, and the husband doesn't own the guf of her yad, So Chatzera Nami lo kanyile gufe. He doesn't own the guf of the chatzer either. Ela lepiri. So once you're telling me that Yad has to be good because he doesn't own the guf hayad, so then it sounds like the guf is the only, as long as she has the guf hadavar, it's good for the for Kabbalah's gittin. Okay, so then what was the whole problem with chatzer? Nobody ever said he owned the guf hachatzer. All we said about chatzer was he owned maisiyot, he owned peros. But why can't we say the same thing? Chatzer nehi dilapiri kanyile gufe mikanyile. Why can't we just use the same exact question and throw it on chatzer? How come by chatzer, the fact that he owns the peros, even though he doesn't own the guf? Nobody's saying he owns the guf by the chatzer. So how come by the chatzer, the fact that he owns the peros, that's a deal breaker. Even though he doesn't really own the guf. But by the yad, we say, well, what are you worried about? He doesn't really own the guf hayad. So how come in both cases he doesn't really own the guf hadavar, but the fact that he owns peros is a problem. The fact that he owns ma'aseh yadav is not a problem. That's Tosa's question. So that's why he's framing the question on the chatzer. Well, it's up to this point, you could say, okay, the Gemara doesn't hold as a distinction between the guf and the peros, but over here the Gemara is making a clear distinction that we have to see who owns the guf and who owns the function. So why don't we say the same thing about the chatzer? Okay. Right? That's a good question. I mean, this, I think, was the question that was sort of bothering everybody from the very beginning. Right? That he doesn't really own the chatzer. Correct? All right, so let's take the two answers of Tosis carefully. Go ahead. Hold on, let's stop for a minute. Okay, so first Tosis is like this. V'yesh lomar, that what? Kevin de kanoilo lepira. In other words, he owns, what does it mean it's kanoilo lepira? He owns the fruit, the field for the peros. He has the right, that's the ownership that he has. He has the ownership in the field insofar as the peros are concerned. That is the ownership that he has.
Meaning that if the field were to stop producing fruit, he would have no ownership over it whatsoever?
Well, fruit doesn't... If it was a piece of property that had no fruit?
Exactly. Like, say, or whatever it was. Say a swarm of locusts came and ate everything so it could no longer produce fruit.
He would still have those rights. That would just be practically speaking, he doesn't get anything. But it means his ownership is in terms of the peros. Okay? So then it's ki'ilu konoi lo guf hachotze. Ah. So what's Tosis' move over here? What's his move? Yeah?
He's saying peros are like a big, like it's like the essential idea kind of.
Well, forget about the, in terms of. Forget, I'm not interested right in the. I'm not interested in exactly how he's getting there right now. I just want to know where is he going.
He's saying
ownership in the fruit is like an ownership in the guf hadavar. Now, our question was, he doesn't own the guf hakarka either. So how come the yad is okay, but the chatzer is not when he doesn't own the guf hachatzer either? So Tosis is saying that in some sense, owning fruit, the fruit of the land, is like having an ownership in the thing itself. Hold on. However, Maisa Yodeha doesn't give you that type of an ownership. Why, Rafi? Me'almaka'asu. Yeah, what does that mean? What does it mean? Yeah.
A whole other thing. Something else.
Yeah, what does it mean, literally?
It's coming from elsewhere.
It's coming from the Weltrein. From the world. It's just coming me'alma. Right? Me'alma means just from the world. Means not from the karka. That's what it means. It means it's not coming from the karka. So for instance, the peros, and this is what Jay was saying, the peros sprout from the ground, right? But the sweater doesn't sprout from her fingers. Right?
Oh, that's a good one.
Right? That's a distinction.
Wouldn't that make you think of it the other way around?
Whoa. We'll think about what it makes you think. But let's get what he says first. Okay, that's the distinction he's homing in on. He's homing in on a chilek. We always have to ask the two questions. We have to say, what is the difference, and why does that difference matter? Okay, because you can pick a lot of differences. You can say, chatzir is dirt and her hand is flesh. That's a difference. But that wouldn't have any relevance to our discussion. So we have to think about, we have to be honest and see what his chilek is. We have to define exactly what the chilek he's making is. And then we have to reflect on what kind of a impact that, why should that have an impact on the idea of ki'ilu? And truthfully, we have to understand what does it even mean to say it's ki'ilu? I mean, where is this idea of ki'ilu? You either own something or you don't own something. You could be a ki'ilu own something. I know, I mean, that's not Ben Aaronson is calling. What do we want to... Right. And I think the Gilgan Hashas is trying to show you another Tosos to get another view of the same idea. Okay, I mean, sometimes he shows you arguments, but I think over here he's trying to show you a similar view, just expressed differently. Over there he expresses it in the sense that the fruit is be'en, right? But ma'is yodeh are not be'en. Be'en, what does he mean by that? It's not in existence. All right, let's see. We'll leave that out for a minute. So what do you want to say? So Jay, you wanted to give an answer. Go ahead.
Relation is not the same as...
Right, so Jay is just clarifying, though, is that the fruit is really a physical extension of the land itself. Right? Whereas the Maisi Odeha is not. It's not a physical extension of her hand. And we could say a little better than just physical extension. Right? It's really what? It's true it's a physical extension, but what else could we say about
it? It's not necessarily its function of Maisi Odeha.
It really is like an attribute of the land itself. Right, I mean the peros on the land are really considered like a feature of the land. Right, it's a feature of the land. For instance, a house that's on property. When you buy a house, you're buying the property, and all of the improvements of the property. Could be $1 million house. It's just you're really buying the land. You're buying the land. I'm sorry. You're buying the land, and everything on the land is just considered an attribute of the land. Right. It's just an attribute of the land, but it's a physical attribute of the land. You understand? There's a physical attribute of the land. Whereas Maisi Odeha are unrelated to her hand. You can in no way say that the sweater she knitted is an accidental quality in her hand.
Accidental quality?
Well, it's not. You can't have an essential quality, but it's not a feature of her hand. I can say to you, look, I have this beautiful field. Describe it for me. Well, it has beautiful fruits on it, and those are all part of the attributes, right, of the land. You can't say that the something that she makes, Maisi Odeha, are not an attribute of the yad.
Right.
Whereas I could say something has an essential definition, and then it has things that are part of it, and in an accidental way. They're not the essence of it, but they're part of it. Yeah. She owns the ikar. The ikar is the karka. It's real property. She owns that real property, right? It's not going away. It's not moving. They're not making more of it. It's real property. That's what it is. And he gets all of the attributes of that. Okay, but they are true attributes of the karka. Okay, so now... That's the type of ownership he has in the cheftza, in the property itself. He has an ownership in all of its attributes, things that physically come from it, okay, and can be traced back in their existence to it. So Tosus is saying like this: that what are we looking for over here? In order for the get to be good. In order for the get to be good, what do we really, what do we need? Yeah. All right, let's start the other way then. So in terms of the guf hadavar, but the yad, right? You don't say that. The yad is completely differentiated from the products of the of ma'is yada.
Except for one thing.
Yeah.
Breast milk.
Is that part of ma'is yada? He gets that. I don't know if he is entitled to that, but. You mean like her hair or something? Maybe she could sell her hair. This type of kinyan. He doesn't own her goof. He doesn't own her goof. He doesn't own her goof in that way. He owns her activity. He owns the product of her activities. Okay. So let's look at it like this. Let's look at it like this. Yeah, Gary.
No, I was just going to answer the question.
Yeah. And what Tosis is trying to work out over here. Is he's trying to be mechalek between the chotzer and the yad, okay? Not in true ownership, because in true ownership, bottom line, the baal doesn't own the guf of the yad, and the baal doesn't own the guf of the chotzer, okay? But he's saying in terms of kinyan, in terms of nesina. There, the idea of Nesina is that the Heftza has to go to a place that is under her domain, under her jurisdiction. That's Nikra'as al Shema. It has her identity associated with it. Okay? It has to be a Nesina that I can say is to her. Okay? So now Tosa is saying in that framework, it's not just a matter of the actual mumminess in the guf hadavar. There is such a thing as being. It's possible. What does he mean by ki'ilu? Ki'ilu kanoilo? He means to say that ki'ilu kanoilo means that although practically in terms of the deed, it's hers. But all of the things that go along with ownership, all of the ideas of ownership, all of the qualities of ownership belong to him. So in that sense, in a practical ownership way of relating to the Heftza, she doesn't relate to it as an owner. She has some legal deed on it, but in terms of the ideas of control and ownership in the Heftza, it's completely associated with him. So all of the association of this karka is to him. So on a practical level, it's like a virtual ownership. He has in all practical sense the identification of the owner. So in terms of Nesina, it's not a question of giving it to whoever has an abstract legal claim on the Heftza, but it has to be moving from his domain to her domain. If he owns the Heftza in a way that includes all of its attributes, then in the sense of Mekach u'Memkar, it hasn't left his control at all. But let me just explain to you a little clearer what I mean by that. What Tosa's idea is like this. He's saying like this that in terms of the peros, right? How does he own? He has a kinyan on the karka for the peros, right? So he has a kinyan on something that is an attribute in the Heftza. So the kinyan if a person has a true ownership in all of the attributes of the entity, then that is ki'ilu, he owns the whole thing. Because everything that relates to it is his. The only thing that's left to her is this abstract identity that in Mominus, she ultimately is the owner, but in terms of all of the practical identification of the karka, and all of its the way it exists in terms of usage, it's completely his. So he's saying in terms of the nesina, it doesn't go by who on a piece of paper is considered to be the owner. It goes by whose rishus, whose functional domain is it entering into. And she has no functional relationship to this cheftza. Why? Because it doesn't belong to her in any everything that comes from it is his. Let me rephrase it. Hold on. Let's look at Maisi Yodeha though. What he's saying, but in terms of Maisi Yodeha, what is it? It's just that there is that whatever she produces, he gets. But what he's getting is not what he has an ownership in is not anything that is physically an extension of her yad. Correct? He doesn't have any bilus in anything that is considered an attribute of her yad. So Tos is saying like this: if you own all of the attributes of a cheftza, then it's ki'ilu you own the cheftza itself. Put simply, if I own all of the attributes and extensions of an entity, then in practical sense that means I own the cheftza itself. Because it's in a practical framework, it's as if I own the cheftza itself. Because when I own a thing, I automatically get all of its attributes. So here we're giving him all of the attributes that makes it ki'ilu he owns the whole thing. You understand? It's sort of like going in reverse. If I really owned the whole thing completely, I would memela have all of its natural attributes. We give him all of the attributes. So we're putting him in the position of being exactly like the one who owns the thing itself. Because we're giving him all of every accidental feature of the karka is his. All the tashmish, all the peros, everything that comes from, everything that's related to it, and everything that's an extension of it. So by way of implication, one who owns all of the features of a thing is no different than the one who owns the thing itself. Certainly, practically speaking. But by the yad, there's a very clear distinction between what he's getting and the guf hadavar. What Tosfos is trying to explain is like this, that the guf hadavar of the karka and the peros are related differently than the guf hadavar of the yad and the maisi yodeha. The guf hadavar of the karka and the peros are related in terms of a cheftza and its attributes. Okay? Whereas the yad and the maisi yodeha are two completely separate things. We only say that this sweater is related to Maisi Yodeha because it happened to have effectuated its existence. But in its existence, it exists completely independently. It doesn't exist as a part of her yad. So if you own all the parts of something, Tosus is saying, that's very different than saying I own all of the things that it causes. Because when I say I own all the parts of the thing, that goes down to the thing itself. That's related to the cheftza itself. If I say I own what this thing effectuates, that's not related to the cheftza. I don't have an ownership in something that is part of the cheftza. By the peros, the Baal has an ownership in something that is intrinsically part of the cheftza. You understand? And he has an ownership in all the things that are intrinsically part of the cheftza. That's tantamount to owning it, except for in the ultimate legal sense of whose name is on the title. That's ki'ilu, means to say in every way except for the legal abstract sense, he owns it. How? Because he really owns everything that is physically part of the cheftza itself. He owns all of the rights in the tashrim. She owns everything that comes from it. Okay? He is the Baal in all of its attributes and accidents. So then Mamela, it's as if he owns it. But ma'isiyodeha are not attributes of her hand. So they're not even accidents of it. Not in this sense. I don't want to confuse it. They are completely independent existences. They're completely separate from her. They are in no sense emanating from her. They are in no sense a part of her. They are in no sense an attribute of her. Okay? They're completely distinct, unrelated, except for the sense that one caused the other. Okay? But the peros is more than just that the land caused the peros. The peros actually exist as a feature of the land. In the way that they come to be, they come to be as a feature of the land. When she knits a sweater, it's not a feature of her. So Tos is saying like this: there's a difference between if you have a real ownership in all of the qualities of a chefza, that's tantamount on a practical level to owning the chefza itself. That distinction we don't make, because in all of its the ownership really goes down very deep to the very core of the thing. And the only element that's missing is the ultimate element of being able to dispose of it, really. But in terms of usage, it's the whole thing is his. Because what does it mean to own something? It means to be able to have all of the all of its effects, all the rights and the control over all of its effects. Tos saying like this, like sort of, if you would describe the ownership that he has over the peros, comes out to be the exact same description as if he truly owned the karka. While he's using it, it's there's absolutely no difference, because the one who owns the ikar of something, that's what it means. It means everything that comes from it is his. So in terms of what the Chachamim gave him, in terms of the idea of peros, they basically put him exactly in the position of being the one who owns it. Identical. The way he relates to it is identical with the way that someone would be if he actually... The only thing is, it's virtual, because it doesn't stem from his actual ownership in the Chefza. It stems from the fact that he owns everything that's related to it. But that's virtually the same thing. Whereas his ownership whereas Maisi Yodeha, he doesn't get Maisi Yodeha because they spring from her hand. It's not like he owns... The relationship of Maisi Yodeha, the relationship of saying you get everything she produces, in no way mimics an ownership of a Guf HaDavar. The ownership of a Guf HaDavar would be to be owning the things that are from it actually. Things that are a part of it. Things that emanate from it. Okay? That's what Maisi Yodeha, that's how Maisi knows. He's saying, in the description of, if you want to play it backwards, so to speak, and say, what does he get? And what type of an ownership is that like? What he gets by the karka is exactly like the ownership of a chefza itself. Because it's the things that are be'en. That's what he means, that they're be'en. They're the things that really are part of the karka. Okay? Whereas the things that he owns from Maisi Yodeha are me'alma ka'asu. They're just me'alma ka'asu. They're not be'en. That's what Tosis and Ksubas is saying. If there's a be'en, if there's an actual real feature in a piece of property, and I own those real features, that's exactly like owning all of it. But there has to be something true and something that's actually a part of it that's be'en. I can say, well, I own that, and that is attached to that karka, and I own it and I own it because it's part of that karka. So then it's like I'm getting all the rights of the actual ownership of the karka. But by Maisi Yodeha, there's nothing be'en that I can say. This outgrowth of her hand is mine, so therefore then it's as if I own her hand. Well, no, they're unrelated. They're not. It's not be'en. It's not a be'en chefza of her hand. It's just a me'alma. It's just we made a deal that the things that she effectuates, I'll get a right to them. But it doesn't come from the guf hadavar. So it's not comparable to the ownership of the chefza. In order to say that the get is good, it has to be, can't be into a chotzer that he has this type of an ownership on. But that's only by chotzer, because of peros, because the nature of the ownership of peros, it has to do with the ownership of all the features of the karka. Whereas the yad is not. He doesn't get her ma'is yadeh because they come from her hand in that sense. That's just a deal. Whatever I work on, whatever I effectuate, whatever products I'm able to make, you'll get them. But that's a separate thing. It's like a separate deal. Let's put it that. It's like a separate deal. To say that I own the karka and therefore have the peros, that's natural. That's a natural product. That's a natural result of owning the carcass to own all the peros. Okay, but that's the type of ownership he has in the peros. But in Maisi Yodea, you can't say that. You can't say that. It has to be simply that there's another zechus, that whatever she makes has to go to him. But it's not like when they come off of her hands, they're automatically naturally his. How? They're not part of her hand. The only way you could envision it is that that it's a separate thing, and whenever she produces it, he has a zechus in it. But the zechus comes for a different reason. You can't say he has a zechus in those whatever she makes in from a natural idea of ownership. You can't reframe it. You can look at the view of the karka and the peros and say he gets everything because of his ownership in the gufa d'avra. That would make sense. That's the way it functions. But it doesn't function that way by yad. Yeah, the eved kanani is different than the isha. The eved kanani is different than the isha because you were really kona him as a chefza.
Same thing as a chatzir.
That's exactly. Different. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's even better than chatzir.
Right, but let's say
it's even more than chatzir. It's even more than chatzir. You really were kona him. And he would pass down in Yerusha. That's a real kinyan. That's a different type of thing. That's a real kinyan. Here we're talking about a virtual kinyan.
Yeah.
You understand? Here we're saying, of course you don't own your wife. Nobody owns the guf of his wife. But we want to know, is there enough ownership in Maisi Yodea to make it practically like an ownership in the guf? You have to understand what we're talking about. Nobody, this whole sugya is not talking about actual ownership of yad and chotzer. Because we agree he doesn't own the chotzer, and we agree he doesn't own the yad. But we want to know, in terms of nesina, it has to be that it's out of his domain for it to be a good nesina. So that brings up a certain idea of a virtual ownership. That if in all practical applications and in all elements, we can say that he is the absolute caretaker on this piece of property, then in a certain sense, it never really leaves his jurisdiction, even though it goes onto this property. You understand? So we want to know, Tosus is trying to explore what type of an ownership in the effect creates this virtual ownership in the guf. But that's what he's trying to explain. He's trying to explain over here, you're right, in terms of the guf, they're both the same. Neither one truly owns the guf. But in terms of Nesina, we have to look at the ideas of, we have to look at it from more an element, from the standpoint of whose identity is associated with this piece of property. Whose identity is it? If I would say, whose property is this? Is it considered like he just put it into something that is under his total domain, under his jurisdiction or not? So he's saying, well, you have to look at the types of ownership you have to look at all of his incidents of ownership, and you have to see how they relate back to a view of the ownership in the guf. So he's saying the ownership in the peros puts him in the position of being a virtual owner of the guf adavar. But the ownership of what she makes is not related to her yad. It's not related to the physical guf ayad. Because they're not coming from the physical guf ayad. They're not attributes of the physical guf ayad. Okay. So he's saying you have to look at what he owns and how that ownership, and you have to look at whether what he owns is really physically a part of the thing or not. If it's physically an attribute of the Chefza, then we can say it's Ki'ilu, he owns the Chefza. But you can't say that by Maisi Yodea.
But if you don't own Evid Kanani, that's what I mean.
But Evid Kanani, you really own.
No, but let's say you don't own the Evid Kanani.
Well, whose Evid is he? Someone else's Evid?
Hefker Evid.
Well, then he owns himself. Then he's a free man.
Oh, fine. So someone else is Evid. Someone else is Evid. But you own everything that he does.
You mean he's hired out to you? The other guy lets you have all of his...
Yeah.
So, but the problem is, the problem with the Evid Kanani is he belongs to somebody else. That's the problem. So whatever you give to him is going to be considered in the other master's rishus, because the guf belongs to the other master.
So everything that comes from the guf still would then also belong to the other guy?
No, you're missing my point. The question of coming from the guf is only a question when we want to know, does that constitute this ki'ilu kinyan haguf?
Yeah.
Right? So by the Isha, we'll say that's not ki'ilu, a kinyan of the guf. Just because he owns whatever her products are, that doesn't make it, in terms of Rishus, like a ki'ilu he owns her guf. Because you can't back it up. You can't say, well, since he owns whatever she bakes and sews and all that stuff, that's exactly like owning the guf adover. No, it's not. It's a different thing because they're not related to her. They're not an attribute of her.
Right.
But by the Evid Kanani, he Lamaisa owns the Gufa Evid.
Or at least someone does.
Someone owns that Gufa Evid.
So
you don't need to. You don't need to make the bridge from the Maisa Yodeha to the Ki'ilu when in reality he owns the Guf. Here we're just trying to look and say, is this enough to make her Guf as if he were the complete owner of the Guf? Even though he's not. So by the Peros it is enough, but by the Maisi Yodeha it's not. Because of the way the Peros relate to the Guf, as opposed to the way Maisi Yodeha relate to the Guf. Maisi Yodeha are just Me'alma and not in any way part of her. So therefore an ownership in them is not Memela an ownership in her. But the Peros of the Karka are Be'en there. They're a Be'en feature of the Karka. So now I'll say it's like I own the karka itself. Well, I would say like this, just to clarify that point. I would say like this, that the hava mina, that the hava mina, the maskana of the Tosos is, what we're looking for is a cheftza, we're looking for an entity that can be considered a proper entity of Nesina. Okay. Tosos' hava mina was... Well, let's not put it in terms of Havmina Maskana. But Tosis Maskana is like this, that in terms of being a Nesina, it's not enough simply to be the on-paper owner of the thing. It has to be a Nesina, it has to be an owner in a framework of Rishus. Okay? So... Since he owns, if we say by the ownership of Maisi Yodeha, does not throw his bilus back onto the, does not throw his shame bilus on the Guf Adover. But the ownership of Peros puts his shame bilus on the Guf Adover too. So now there's no Cheftza, there's no entity of Nesina for him. Because it's not, in order to be a good Nesina, it has to be to her. His question is, what constitutes, what type of relationship to the field is enough for it to be considered that is given to her? Okay? He's saying it's not enough simply that she has some abstract relationship to it. It has to be practically that it has her identity associated with it. If he has all of the ownerships of all of its attributes, then the whole identity is him in this field. There's no separation in practicality between what he owns and what the field is. Let's put it that way. Maybe that's a better way to put it. In practically speaking, there's no distinction between what he owns and what the field is. because he owns everything that comes from that field. Everything that the field, every attribute and accidental quality in that field becomes his. So when he puts it in the karka, he's putting it in a place that has his identity on all of its, on the gufa davar, practically speaking. Because he owns all of its features. Whereas, how? Because the ownership in the peros gives him that, because the peros really are the features of the karka. When he has an ownership in the, when the field is koni lo l'shem peros, it means to say that where does his bialis extend to? It extends to every practical use of this field. Oh, so what is the field if it's not more than the sum of all its practical uses? Oh yeah, but he can't obliterate it because it has to pass on when he dies to her. Okay, but Lamaisa right now, as it functions completely under his shame. So that's not enough. That identity of then it won't qualify as an asina to a cheftza that has her identity associated with it. She has an abstract future identity associated with this thing. She doesn't have a tangible, practical identity with the cheftza of the karka. Why? Not because she doesn't own the underlying material, but because he owns every single tashmish of it. And in practical terms, ownership of the guf is just the sum of the ownership of all of the things uses. So practically speaking, that's what he has. Okay, the Havamina was, it would be enough that just her name is associated with it in a legal sense to be considered giving it to her. The maskana is, it has to be in a real sense that it's given to an entity that has her shame on it. Okay, and since in terms of all the real senses of the very cheftza of the karka, meaning all of its physical attributes, he has, then he's the baal in terms of that. But you can't say that by Maisiyah. But the giving him the peros, giving him Maisiyah Deha, is not giving him all of the physical attributes of her hand. It's just giving, on the contrary. It's not even a physical attribute. There's not one physical attribute of her hand. Okay, so you can't say that, you can say because he owns all the attributes of the karka, it's like he owns the karka. But Maisiyah Deha is not giving him that type of ownership at all. It's just an accidental thing. Things that her hand happens to bump into in a special way become his. Okay, that doesn't mean it's his. It doesn't mean that now I can, now it doesn't mean that now I say, well, her hand, look at it. She has no ownership over that hand. Because every single thing that that is attributed to that hand is his. It's not true. It's not the type of ownership by the Yad. It's just more a functional causative type of a thing. So okay, so her effort belongs to him, whatever, the products of her skill belong to him, fine. But that's not stripping away all the practical qualities of the yad and giving it to him and saying she has nothing left but some abstract identity. No, of course not. It's not like that at all. Not like that in the least bit. Furthermore, he says the chotzer belongs to him, bal korcha. Right?
Meaning Rabbanon forced them to accept it?
Or she can't opt out of it. Okay? But
Bal
Korcha, against her will.
Oh, her will. Oh,
right?
Okay.
She can't say, I don't want you to get Paris. Right? She can't say, I don't want you to have Paris of the Chotzer. But the Yad, she can say, Eini Nizonas Faniosa, I don't want to work for you. Don't give me money, I don't want to work for you. So what is the element he's... So listen, this is where I want you to understand from the shiur today. To be able to read the Rishon and try to see what element he's focusing on. Okay? In the first answer of Tosfos, what element of virtual ownership is he focusing in on? On what he owns. Since he owns all the things I can list that make up ownership of karka, then it's like virtually he owns the karka. He's focusing on what he owns. Okay? What does he own by the chatzer? Everything that an owner, that equal ownership. What does he own by yad? Nothing like that. But what element is he focusing in on the second answer? Not what he owns. That's not what he's focusing on. How he owns it. And how is the difference?
Force.
Okay? So that's Tosfos' the second answer. He's saying, no. He doesn't differentiate between Peros and Maisi Adao. He says, it's control is the question. Control is the issue. The distinction is not that Maisi Adao are different from Peros, and that one is Be'en and one is not Be'en. That's not the question. The question is, what does Bailus really boil down to? Who's the boss? What does that really boil down to? Who ultimately is in control. That's what it boils down to. Since she at any moment can say, I'm out of this Maisi Adao arrangement, she has control. You understand? So he's saying any type of ownership in the, even the Maisi Adao, according to the second answer, would be enough to make him to have a shame bailus on her yad. Even that would be enough to give some shame bailus on the yad, which would make it impossible for him to use her yad that has his shame bailus as a chefta of nesina. But what is the difference? That she's always ultimately deciding to give him maisi adah. So that makes him not the baal, because it's up to her. Since ultimately it's up to her if she wants this arrangement, then the whole time it's considered like it cannot. That is a contradiction to Bailus, the fact that it's under her control. Bailus is Baal Karcha. So the two answers on Tosfos are exploring what makes his ownership in the products like an ownership in the guf. Is it the total things that he owns? Or is any ownership enough, but it has to be an ownership like a baal? In other words, it's always like a baal. Both answers are like a baal. But is it like a baal in terms of the quantity, that he has all of the things that a baal would have? Or is it dafka that it has to be like a baal in terms of quality, that what he owns in an absolute way? Okay, so those are his two possibilities. Since she could say at any minute, "Eini nizonus veini osa," and he can't say "work," and I want the product, that's not bailus. That doesn't express on the underlying material an idea of ownership. See, in Eved you could, right? That. But again, we're not looking for true ownership. We're looking for this keilu ownership. We're looking for this virtual ownership. We're looking for something that we can say because of what he has. His name is identified with this cheftza, right? Because he never owns, there's no possibility for him to actually own her yad. That's not in the running over here. The question is, why, but he doesn't own the karka either. But the question is, in terms of nesina and mekach and kinyan, you have to give the kinyan to something that has an identity other than you. Otherwise, it's not a good nesina. So we want to know what types of ownerships in things will give your identity to the underlying chefta. That's really all we're looking for. Understand? It's a ki'ilu. The whole thing is working towards a ki'ilu. So is it practically how you use it when you're using it? Or is it the ability to have the ultimate control over the product itself? If I have ultimate control over the product itself, then it's like I have a control over the yad. Right? Then it's like I have an ownership of the yad. Is you have no, the whole point I'm trying to make is it's a fiction. Okay? It's a fiction. And we have to ask ourselves that what would a true owner be able to do? X. So if he's able to do X, it's like he's the owner. That's enough to have his name associated with this cheftza in terms of the realm of ownership and make it not acceptable for transferring bailus. So in the first way we say, well, what would a true owner have? He'd have unlimited access to all of the features of the property. Well, guess what? He has it. But does he have that by her hand? No. The second answer is saying we look at the way he owns the thing. A real owner would call the shots and say when the thing has to be done and when it doesn't have to be done. Does he have that kind of ownership on her hand? No. But he does have it on property, so he's the ki'ilu owner. You understand? We're trying to look at what real ownership is and what does he have, and does that make him like an owner? You understand?